right, let us call the regular session of the Water Utility Commission for October 11th. Call it to order at 5 on the nose. Roll call, please, if you will.
Chair Hurt?
Here.
Vice Chair Merrick?
Here.
Commissioner Hitt?
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner McMillan?
Here.
Commissioner Mielke?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll open the call to the audience. I assume no cards. Thank you. We'll close the call to the audience. Start with the regular session agenda. Number one, review and approval of the September 13th regular session meeting minutes. Those were in your packet. Are there any additional corrections or changes to those minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Thank you. Commissioner Mielke?
Second.
Commissioner Hitt, seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Number two, discussion and possible action on cancellation of the December Water Utility Commission meeting. It's my understanding, and Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, but we normally do this.
Yeah, this is pretty typical for as long as I've been with the utility, 5.5 years now, where typically we ask the commissioner to consider canceling the July and December commission meetings. I think, you know, unless we had something that we were working on hot and heavy, I wouldn't recommend that. But this year, seeming in good shape with the things we are working on, and hopefully we have one item tonight that I want to take to council, and I would expect to take that to council in November. But otherwise, nothing that needs council attention. So, you know, from my perspective, we're in a good position to cancel the December.
And because we flipped this meeting with a possible road trip?
We're planning a field trip. I'm waiting for some specifics.
Okay.
But, you know, if that fell through, we would have a... We would meet one way, shape, or form in November still.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Any discussion at this point? I would need a motion.
Any commission that we cancel over December 2021?
Member McMillan moves. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, thank you. Member Merrick seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We will not have a meeting in December unless we are called for it.
Thank you.
Number three. Update, discussion, and possible action on the Northwest Recharge Recovery and Delivery System Supplemental Agreement. Mr. Abraham, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Chair Hurt. So from our last meeting, I presented in depth as to the purpose of the supplemental agreement. I'll just touch on it again to refresh our memories. But one of the driving factors behind this is a cost savings to all the partners. And at our last meeting, I wasn't prepared to demonstrate that there would be a cost savings. I had every expectation that there would be, and I do have that information now. I'll be presenting that to the commission now. Just a quick overview. This is some things we spoke of last month's commission meeting. You know, we have a partnered portion of the NWRRDS and an independent portion. We've identified an opportunity to extend the partnered portion of the work to further simplify the construction. It allows the partners to have beneficial occupancy at the same time and to further take advantage of some economies of scale. Right now, for the partners portion of the work, Metro Water is the lead agency, but you know, this kind of work is really, they're doing a lot of lifting on this, and they don't have the capacity to take on any additional partnered work. So working with my team and where we're positioned, I felt we could take on this work on behalf of the partners. So some of the IGA details, Oro Valley becomes the lead agency for the supplemental IGA. That would be managed by Oro Valley. It would be inspected and accepted on behalf of the partners by Oro Valley. And the partners would reimburse Oro Valley for all costs associated with the work related to the partners. We completed the agreement in July of 2021, and then I got some additional information that I'll be presenting to the commission tonight. Again, this expanded partnered work. Right now, the partnered portion of the project ends at the partnered reservoir near the Twin Peaks and Lambert alignment. This would expand the partnered work to include each partner's booster station and discharge piping to roughly the Twin Peaks road alignment. So right now the partnered portion of the work ends at the reservoirs. It would expand the partnered work to include the suction piping, booster station, and discharge piping to roughly the Twin Peaks road alignment. Oro Valley would be the lead agency that would procure, manage the construction of, inspect, and accept on behalf of the partners the additional work. So one of the things I did is I put together an engineer's estimate for what Oro Valley's cost would be to provide this service. So I budgeted in there for a project manager, and I put their annual salary and a construction inspector. And then what I did with that is I applied an annual rate adjustment factor. And what that is it's more than just the staff salary. There's the benefits and all the additional the true cost for the town to have that person. And it works out. I was working with Mary. It's about a factor of 1.3. So I applied that, and then I put a time commitment factor. You know, the project manager doesn't spend 100% of their time on a project like this. It's a big project, but I would estimate it's about 50% of their time. A seasoned project manager would be about 50% of their time. Whereas for the construction inspector, I would expect a little more time commitment for the construction inspector's part. But then again, it's not, even with construction inspection, it's not 100% of the time. There's times when a lot of the work is they're just excavating, they're digging. You know, the inspector shows up in the morning, talks with the contractor, yeah, I'm going to be digging all day. All right, see you at lunchtime. Call me if you need anything. But then there are parts that are very inspection heavy, and they would be there the whole time. Yeah. But our inspection staff's very well seasoned at that kind of work, and they know when they need to be there, when it's not critical for them to be there. And then I implied the construction period. It's roughly a 12-month construction period, but then you have procurement and you have, staff coming up to speed on the project. So there's a time commitment on the front half and the back end of the project. So I just applied a construction period factor to that, and I get a total. And then I get right here, so for 15 months for a project manager and construction inspection, just under $160,000. But then I add in all the overhead associated with that position. So as an enterprise fund, the utility pays an administrative fee to the town for general services. And, here we have, insurance, we lease our office, all these things associated with supporting these positions, motor pool, legal, finance, HR, IT, procurement. That's all part of the administrative fee that we pay the town. And then what I did is I did an adjustment factor to that, and that adjustment factor there is I took the this annual fee, and then I just took the two staff and divided by I-41 staff. So I just took two divided by 41 and figured out, what is two staff's portion of this, and just prorated it down accordingly. Here again, applied a time commitment factor to that. Here again, the construction period, and I come up with the totals here. So here, the office lease is a little over $60,000 a year, but for the two staff, it comes up to just a little under $2,300. Go through all that, add all that up, and I come up with a subtotal. And then I added up My first subtotal, $160,000, plus my second subtotal of just under $40,000. So, you know, you're just under $200,000. And then I just took, we have three, us and two other partners. So it's a third, a third, a third. Applied that and came up with just over $66,000 per partner. Now, bear in mind, you know, this is an engineer's estimate. I mean, it's, we're going to be tracking, you know, timesheets and you know, having the real data that we'll make available to the partners. But for the purposes of the partners making an informed decision and this commission making an informed recommendation to council, I wanted to provide this. So,
Peter?
Yes, sir.
Question. Just to be clear, on your direct charge personnel, if you will timesheet them and bill them at actual in the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, this is fine and dandy. So then what I did is I reached out to the consultant community, gave them the scope of work that I'm asking, that is basically the scope of work that the town would be doing, and asked them to provide a cost proposal for similar type work so we could make a direct comparison. So working with that, you know, this is how they broke it out. You know, they have a principal, a project manager, construction manager, construction observer, inspector, project controller. I would assume that's someone between admin and, you know, but they all had something similar to that. Then they had admin. Anyways, I went through, you know, so here's the hours for each of these positions, and then they gave it to me, and they looked at it in just 12 months. So I took my 12 months and I applied my 1.3 factor to get to 15 months. But you go through and add up all the columns. And what I did is I took the consultant that had the best price. I had two consultants, and one was, you know, a little bit higher than this. So I just took the lowest price one, just for comparative purposes. And then I just came down, and here again, once I got the subtotals here, so, you know, for the similar type service, what is it? The total was just a little over $500,000, and then I applied my third factor. So this is what it costs each partner for these positions, and you get to the end of for each partner. Having a consultant doing the work that the town of Oro Valley is proposing to do, it's just under $170,000. So if I go back, so, you know, I think I would expect we'd save at least $100,000, not just the town, but the partners as well. And it would actually be more than that, because this doesn't include procurement services, legal services. This is strictly construction, project management, and inspection. You know, so this, you know, having us do it, it's just more of a value. Now, here again, the consultants do an excellent job, and they provide a very good service to us. They're very competent and very capable, and we're using them now for the current partnered portion. But for this supplemental agreement, this kind of work here, I mean, there's no right-of-way issues. There's no state land. This is really simple work for us. This is the kind of work that we're experts at. I mean, it's you know, it made sense to have a consultant involved with the current partnered piece, just because there's so many moving pieces and a lot of specialty talents. Is required. You know, we're working with ADOT and the railroad and state land, ADWR, ADEQ. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But, you know, this level of work here, you know, Oro Valley is very, very strong and well geared to do. Yes?
I was wondering, there's three booster stations and three pipelines, are the specifications the same for all three? Are they designed the same way? Will our inspectors know?
No, they're
for Marina's specs.
Yeah, so part of the IGA includes where like language such as this. Just give me a second here. To answer your question, no, they're not the same, because we're each pumping to a different elevation.
But they may, I'm saying they may use different equipment than you do too, if they're designed by a different consultant.
So fortunately, the consultant that designed the booster stations was the same consultant for all the partners. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, it's actually more similar than they are different. But what is different is the flow capacities, the horsepower, and the sizing. But as far as specifics like mechanical seals and the valves, that is standard pretty much for all the partners, because we have
the
same.
That's what I was worried
yeah.
about.
And And the partners have, we had a sneaking suspicion that we might be going this route. We feel positive that our respective governing bodies will approve it. So we kind of did the upfront work to make all of our booster stations, as far as ancillary equipment, very similar. Just so you wouldn't be building two, three totally different booster stations. I mean, from the outside, they're going to look the same. They're going to be vertical turbine pumps. I mean, nobody's using like centrifugal pumps. We're all using line shaft driven vertical turbine pumps with, you know, with mechanical seals and that sort of thing.
But they'll all be the same manufacturer.
That I don't know. It doesn't have to be, but that you know, whether it's a Simflow pump or a National pump or a Gould's pump, that they're all capable. I mean, that doesn't bother me at all. That isn't something that would concern me. And bear in mind, you know, it's up to the contractor. We're specification driven, not manufacturer driven. So it's a performance spec. You know, as long as the manufacturer meets that performance criteria and the time constraint criteria, and you know, they can use them. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions with respect to this body of work. Yes?
Yeah, just want to be clear. Upon the beneficial occupancy, the individual partners assume the maintenance for the booster station and the pipe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So essentially, our involvement with the other partners for this ends upon the assumption of beneficial occupancy. We're not operating or on the hook for maintenance.
No, the only thing we are part of is we have a two-year warranty. So if there's a warranty item, let's just say, you know, Metro, one of their mechanical seals within the warranty period starts leaking, they would work with our project manager to get the contractor there to do it under warranty. So we will be in, we're not operating and maintaining, but
right.
we will still have, you know, some kind of with the over the horizon involvement, but it's with respect to warranty.
And the project manager would be someone who's currently on staff?
No, so right now I have a vacant position, and I would be hiring a person, not just for this, but also for our, to manage our independent portion of the work. And it's a 4 or 5 year assignment.
Okay.
But I do have, right now I have a vacant junior level engineer, and I would be asking for a 4 or 5 year senior level engineer assignment. But basically after NWRRDS was done, that's when their assignment would end. And they would be hired knowing that. And then I would go back to requesting a junior level or filling with a junior level engineer. But we're not creating a new position. We have a vacant position.
Right. Other questions?
Yes, sir.
Tom.
Just one quick one. The only real risk I see to the town is that there is a termination clause there. Given this is at the build to print 85% plus engineering completion state, it just seems to me that risk is pretty pretty low. Did you see anything that would make one of the partners run for the hills?
So in the agreement here, I talk about that, and I was wanting to, of course, with everyone looking at me here, I'll never find it, but as soon as you turn around, I'll be like, oh, there it is. But essentially, if a partner wants to get out of it, once we start construction, it's too late. You have to build your booster station. There is no off-ramp. Like, you're in. Now, if we get to before construction, you know, someone can jump out. But once construction starts, if halfway through you say, we don't want to do it anymore per the agreement, we're building your booster station and you're paying for it, period. And the partners had, you know, I think that's a reflects on the goodwill of all the partners. Nobody had a problem with that.
Yeah, it seemed to be worded that way, but okay. It sounds good to hear you say it.
It's funny, I wrote like every word in this IGA, and I can't, and I...
For what it's worth, Peter, I've seen it. But okay. I couldn't find it either, if you ask me now.
Happy to answer any of the questions, but, you know, with that, after some additional discussion, I do ask respectfully ask the commission to approve me taking this to council for recommend approval for the council approval. But before that, I'd be happy to answer any additional questions.
Other questions before we move forward?
Are you going to present that to the council? Or you just present it, huh?
So, you know, that'll depend on the agenda committee. You know, I don't know if it'll be a consent agenda item, if they'll want me to do a study session. So, you know, I serve at the pleasure of the agenda committee. But I'm prepared to do whatever I need to do. Yeah, it makes me crazy. I want to find this. You know, I'm not going to like it.
You'll find it after the meeting, I'm sure. Yeah,
it's crazy. Like, you know how long I've been working on this thing? Yeah. Term and withdrawal. There it is. Any party withdrawing from this IGA shall be obligated to pay for its share of all costs. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, it's there. Yeah. Once we start, you're paying.
All right. This is a possible action item. If it's the pleasure of the commission, I would entertain a motion to approve or not approve, whichever.
Move to approve.
All right, Merrick. I need a second.
Second.
Thank you. Commissioner Hitt. Further discussion? Hearing none, you ready to vote? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your support. We'll make you proud of your decision.
All right. Let's move to item number 4, update and discussion on Oro Valley Town Code Chapter 15, Water Code Amendment. Mr. Abraham.
Thank you, Commissioner Hurt. So this was, Commissioner McMillan had brought this up as a future agenda item, and it's probably not a bad idea. So the reason I say that is we have some new commissioners here that really weren't involved in this body of work just because of the length of time it took to do this body work. But what happened is, believe it or not, the water code amendments, this was something that was proposed by the Utilities Water Resource and Conservation Subcommittee. Is, you know, hey, it was brought up, like, you know, we need to update our water code. And we brought it before the commission for consideration in 2017. And I remember at the time we wanted really to have an agreement by the commission body of, you know, what did we want to accomplish? Like, what was wrong with the code? What were we trying to accomplish there? And the commission agreed on the following objectives: update the water code to correct deficiencies in the current code. And that's anywhere from, you know, spelling errors to things that just weren't even applicable to the world we live in anymore. Update the code to reflect the community's commitment to water conservation, support the goals of the town's general plan and strategic leadership plan, you know, clearly define what is water wasting and to prohibit the act of water wasting. We changed the wording of the water conservation levels to better align with the regional definitions, and I'll give you an example of what that means, and give the utility the tools needed to enforce compliance with the proposed code amendments, and staff was supportive of the commission's objectives on this. So the proposed changes, portions of section 15.1 to 15-3, title, intent, and purpose. We added definitions. If you're going to have a code and you say the word commercial, multifamily, residential, reoccurring, you have to say what does that mean? And one of a really important word in the water code is the word reoccurring. Portions of 15-18, water conservation areas of significant change, water conservation requirements, restrictions during town declared water shortages. I want to give you what my intent or our intent is on that. Penalties, violations, and enforcement, and then portions of 15-19 with respect to violations. We reorganized some of the articles. We just made it so it reads a lot easier than what it did. And here's examples of water wasting. You know, it was never our goal. You know, we don't want to be the water police. We want, and a lot of what's in this really, doesn't apply specifically to residential. You know, we the commission and staff agreed. You know, we wanted Laurel Valley to be a place where you can wash your car and use water the way you see fit, but. Yeah, just be cognizant of, it's a finite resource and we live in the desert and we want to conserve it. But here's, with respect to like residential or anything, but this is really the meat and potatoes of what we were after is, we have a lot of residents, they walk early in the morning and I'm not kidding, it's once a week we're sent a picture like this or like that or like that or like that. And they're like, hey, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I go by this house and there's water running down the street and at 6 a.m. The thing is, more often than not, the owners don't know about it because the irrigation goes off at 7, they roll out the door at 8, it's evaporated by then. 99% of the time, we reach out to the customer, send them a picture, hey, you got an irrigation leak. 99.9% of the time, wow, thanks. We didn't know that. But every once in a while, maybe once every year, every 2 years, we get somebody that just says, I bought the water, I can do whatever I want with it, go take a hike. Mm-hmm. And that's where the code just gives us some teeth to say, well, we're not going to take a hike. You know, we want to partner with you, and we want to educate you. And the code really, the code didn't really give us the tools to solve this problem, if we had somebody that was combative towards us. So that's really the what we intended to accomplish with the code. Another thing is, for example, if you had a chance to read through this, the following are considered wasting water and are prohibited. And we talk about using water for washing driveways, sidewalks, parking areas, we say here, this restriction does not apply to residential or multifamily residential. But we do say, if you have a business and you need to, say a kid gets sick and, makes a mess in front of your business, and from a public health and safety perspective, wash it off, pressure wash it, So the code is, I think it's reasonable and it's user-friendly. And I can stand behind the wording. And that's one of the reasons why it took so long to get to this point was we were wrestling with the wording. The early versions of the code had us confiscating people's water fountains and things like that. And I couldn't support that. But we got to where we have a good code. And one last item I want to point out in the code is. It has to do with respect to the conservation levels. And as I had explained to council, you know, we have these different water resource levels, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And right now we're in a water conservation level 1. We have been for over a decade, and that's just voluntary conservation. I think most water service providers are at a level 1. But, you know, there's a water resource level 2, you know, a level 3. And really, while this does work for if we have a regional supply problem and we say, hey, you know, you can't irrigate between these hours, or, you know, if, God forbid, it could get so bad as you can't fill your pool anymore. Well, I don't really see that happening, you know, during my career, where we'd have a regional water resource curtailment that we'd have to get to that level. But where I could see us getting that, to that level, is more of a specific area of our water system. Say we had a main break, or we lost power to a booster station. And, you know, let's say we needed time to get a generator out there, or if you have a main break, you know, there's some areas where you have a main break, you have to bring in, you know, a lot of shoring and special, you know, because it's deep or wherever, you have to bring in specialty equipment to work on it, where maybe that we might have an area of our system where we can't provide you water for, you know, maybe a couple days, or a limited supply, because maybe there's a 2 million gallon reservoir that's providing you system pressure. You got to nurse that 2 million gallons along. The code gives us the ability, with the water operations manager telling me, hey, we got a problem, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do, and then working with the town manager at a very localized level, say, okay, these people, here's the rules for the next couple of days until we get this fixed, is the code gives us the ability to enforce that where the old one didn't. So, you know, we had a study session on this item with our council, and then we had a council meeting on it, and council unanimously approved it. So I thank you for the commission's patience in us. You know, the council had a lot of other things on its plate. This wasn't really a real hot topic for it, but, you know, we got to where we could get it on the agenda. The timing was right, and they approved it unanimously. Just as an interesting note, the news showed up and did a report on it, and I had several colleagues see the news report on it, and they've asked me for our water code. And I've heard things back from them where they're like, we want to do this. Just can I copy your code? And sure, absolutely. So kind of cool. Like, I think this is something that everyone's kind of wanted to update, but, you know, you just never get around to it. So Oro Valley kind of took the lead on this one, I think. So again, just an update. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but also thank you for the commission's support and our council for their support and their water utilities mission.
Questions?
Well, thank you.
No questions? Thank you. And we are now at number 5, update and discussion on water utility financials. Ms. Rollis, you have the floor.
Okay, so this is a financial update for the current fiscal year 21-22 through September 30th, 2021. And on all the revenues, I've put on the notes that it's projected to meet budget, and that's because we only have 3 months of data available right now. So as we get further into the fiscal year, you know, I'll be able to give you better projections for how we're going to end up. So for potable water sales, we're at 3.5 right now, and the budget's 12.6. Reclaimed water at 400,000, and we're at 1.4. Groundwater preservation fees are at 687,000, and budget is 2.4. Service fees are at 203,000, and budget's 875,000. So our total revenues through September are $4.8 million out of a budget of 17 about 17 million. And then on expenses, on personnel, we're at 651,000 and budget 3.7. And so I'm projecting that we're going to be below budget due to vacancy savings. There's about 3 open positions right now. On O&M, we're at 1.7 and budget's at 9.3. And that's projected to be at budget. Capital, we're at 124,000 and budget's 1 million. That's projected to be at budget. Debt service, 4.9 through September, and we made our July 1st payment, so that's at budget. So total expenses through September are 7.4 million out of a budget of about 19 million. So new meters installed through September are 62. Our customer base is 21,028. Water audits performed 7, and Water Smart register accounts is 6,553. And if there's any questions?
Questions? No questions.
Well done.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll move to item 6. Update and discussion on capital improvement projects. Mr. Jacobs, you're on.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good evening, everyone.
Did I just turn it off?
One more.
Oh.
There you go.
There we are. That was a short presentation. Okay, so this year we're starting with our well rehabs. We have 2 wells that we've identified in our well rehab program. Well D1, which is actually at reservoir water plant 4, and well D9, which is on the north side of La Cañada. These are older wells, and both have never been rehabbed, and they're probably right around the 1980s era. So that's a good time. They've had a good life. Well, a Nokoma Sky well, a production well. So this is a multi-year project, capital project that we're working on. We've done the design for the site. The site's been designed. It's the well's been drilled, and this is what its current state is now. With the facility security wall is up. We're at 100%. Civil plants. We're working now on the control panel design, and we'll be working with SCADA integration as well. So now we're hoping this year to put that out, to at least to start equipping it. Depending on numbers, you know, we're looking at we're seeing a big escalation in costs with construction materials, and so that's one of the factors that's been playing into a lot of this. But here we're ready to go. We'll have this at least, if everything goes as planned, we'll at least be 100% plans on the shelf ready to go this year. Steam pump well, civil. I think the civil plans are in the works currently. We're at about 100% civil. Same thing, control panel, electrical design. And system SCADA integration will have to be done. We're hoping probably we're looking at the third quarter of 2022 to get all that done. And here's a layout too. So we've got the layout of the steam pump well and distribution site. You can see down here where the well is going to go. We did the design in-house to do a loop, and this is part of a joint project that we have with our parks department. And the design is complete. The plans are approved. We've got an ADQ, or I'm sorry, PDQ approval to construct ATC. And now we're going out to get costs on materials. And we're looking at anywhere from 16 to 24 weeks out if we order today. And they're not guaranteeing prices until it gets delivered. So
Is that for ductile and or PVC?
Yeah, we're looking at both. We're asking them to give us a price on both ductile and PVC just because we don't know, but fuel prices are going up, and so those PVC prices go up, and then we see kind of a equalization there in cost with ductile iron and PVC. So.
And Lee, is that just 12-inch or 8-inch stuff?
This is all 8-inch.
So that, we're still seeing that long lead time on 8-inch?
Yeah, we're still seeing a long lead time.
And they're not guaranteeing. We're hearing from our contractors as well that, you know, they put an order in, but they get partial orders. They're not getting the full order. So, you know, that really puts a...
What would be your normal time for delivery?
Oh, just maybe something under 4 weeks.
Okay.
Easily. Yeah.
Could they tell you why it's delayed? What the reasons are?
Well, you know, you hear a lot of stories, right? And nobody seems to really give you the right answer. Or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore.
We're hearing COVID, and it's been sitting on a...
Yes, yeah.
Sitting on a ship outside of Long Beach.
Or right.
Everything in between.
Everything in between. Can't find the workers.
Locally, isn't it? Huh? The pipe's made in the U.S.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the ductile iron's made here in the USA, the PVC. Yeah.
Because maybe the raw chemicals.
Yeah. Maybe there's a shortage on the materials, the raw materials or something that they have to bring in.
Staffing shortage and trucking shortages right now.
Or yeah, there's a lot of that too. Yeah, we're hearing about the trucking shortage.
It just affects everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, the supply line, yeah. And we're really starting to feel the impact, especially on these capital projects and these and our internal projects as well. Not only the cost, but even the labor, trying to find the labor, the skills. We started a project last fiscal year, with electrical, and this year we have a whole new group of people from the same contractor, because none of the people, they've been, you know, headhunted and taken from them. So... You know, so it's, and now we're having to kind of re-educate them and restart the whole project with the electrical, so they bring them up to speed, so that they understand what the project is all about. And so we get some time delays and setbacks. So, continuing on with our HP tanks, this year we identified our Crimson Canyon. It's a closed system, two small 1,000 gallon HP tanks that we're looking at replacing at the facility here. And this is also a 1980s facility. It was built in the early 80s, and neither one of the tanks were, they were never certified by the American Standards of Mechanical Engineering certification. So we'll get those rebuilt and updated. And that's a safety issue too, because then you start to see pinholes and possible, you know, issues with HP tanks flying in the air. This is Rancho Vistoso. A couple years ago, we did a capital replacement on our G zone. Now we're looking at replacing our H zone here at the Rancho Vistoso with our new design, our HP tank. And steel prices, that's another one we're seeing. I think it was two years ago, we heard this. I heard this morning from our contractor. Their prices were about 40 cents a pound. Now they're $1.40 a pound. So, I mean, we're seeing that $20,000 easily increasing from year to year on the same size tanks.
What did we pay last year for a 5,000 gallon tank?
So, just for the tank alone, we paid $33,000. This year, our costs are $55,000 on that same tank, with the same pertinence as everything else being equal, same size, everything. So our finance administrator's not very happy with me. I'm going over budget, and we haven't even started. This is our valve truck. This was a big deal for us. You know, thanks to David, he really championed this. This is, over the course of since I've been here, we've had a valve replacement program, where we've tried to identify valves, and we have identified valves that are malfunctioning or broken, you know, open, can't be adjusted or can't be closed, manipulated in any way. So what we have done is we've replaced those, but what we really needed to do was start a program to do valve exercising, to go in and exercise these valves, to rehabilitate them, make sure that they're working properly. I mean, you can easily, you know, figure $5,000 to $6,000 to $10,000 depending on the size of the valve per valve. You know, when you look at the cost of labor, contractors, traffic control, everything else that's involved. So we were able to purchase this truck, and Mary too, she was involved in this, and David and Mary got together. We were looking at, I think, what, 2022, sometime 2022, to actually get the truck. They were quoting us for a new truck, but Mary and Dave got together and they said, hey, well, what about a truck from 2021? You know, you have anything in the lot there that we can use? And sure enough, they did. And we found it and we got it delivered, what, a week ago, David? Yeah, so a week ago. So this is a big deal. You know, this is kind of a game changer for us.
And it's a machine that actuates the valve, right?
This is a machine that will actually, so it has an arm.
You can kind of see it here. It's got an arm and then an extension on it. And it comes out hydraulically, and they set it on the valve, and then it'll count the turns and turn it and open it, turn it, open it. And then you've got a vacuum truck here that'll go in and clean out the riser from the valve. And then
it has torque sensing too, so you don't break an actuator. That right, David?
Yep, it has torque sensing. Right, so it doesn't over torque it and break the valve.
Really, with the vehicles, we can exercise a lot more valves per day with this machine than you can just do it manually. By your fifth valve, your shoulders are toast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this.
Yeah.
Unless you're me, it's the first valve.
Right. And then you're putting out traffic control. You're doing a lot of other stuff. This has a lot of that features already on it. You're still going to have traffic control, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you're talking, like Peter said, maybe five valves a day, whereas with this, you could probably get up to 60, probably. I don't know if that's being optimistic, but
we'll find out.
But it's significantly more valves than you can do with two people, and this takes one person to operate. So that's right there. There's a little bit of a saving. You know, you're doing it with one person rather than two. And what we have, I think we've identified over, our system has over 8,000, almost 9,000 valves. Yeah. So they'll be
you
busy.
The last valve, and you go right back to the first one?
Yep.
Pretty much, yeah. And AWWA does recommend that you do have a valve exercising program, because you have critical valves in your system, you know, that feed hospitals, that feed, you know, schools, clinics, things like that, that you want to make sure that are operational, you know, in the event of an emergency, that you can service them and you can reroute water and isolate the system. So this is our La Cañada booster, our E to F and E to G zone. It's a two-zone booster station that we're looking to design. Year one, we designed the discharge piping. Here's the existing La Cañada reservoir, which will boost water up into, you know, to our E and F zone. I'm sorry, our F and G zones. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to design it and build this first. So that's what we've done last year. We designed it, and this year, early this year, in the first quarter of fiscal year, we installed it. So they just wrapped this up probably about a week ago. And
what's important about this job is this helps us move NWRDS water to our system. That's the whole purpose of this. Is right now, we're limited as to how we can move those additional supplies to our system. This gives us access to two other zones to move water from west to east.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks, Peter. So, this is the F zone here. We'll push it. And the developer has just recently developed a subdivision north of us, and they actually brought in a line for a G-zone underneath that on the north side of there. So we've got both of the discharge piping in place, ready to go. So in 2 years, when we build the Northwest project and we bring water from our North project into La Cañada, we'll be ready to go. And this year, we're going to actually be designing the booster site itself and bringing in the electrical. But there's a lot going on here. So the Northwest project, as Peter mentioned, we are at 90%+ on the independent portion of the North project. So we've secured the property where the intermediate forbay will go. We've designed the transmission main from Blue Bonnet to the intermediate forebay, and then the discharge line that goes north to Tangerine, and then we're going to tie into an existing line at Naranja. And then in the future, we'll design, and it'll probably be just an in-house design for our D-zone blend into our NORDS project. We're planning on going to design this year. We're actually out for our professional services contract right now. It should hit the streets here probably this week or next week to solicit for professional services. And so hopefully once that gets secured early next year, we'll be contracting with an engineering firm to do that booster design and the site layout.
You know, I just want to acknowledge, you know, Lee's effort here and the town manager. We were looking for a location for our booster, an intermediate booster station, because we can't just boost it from NWRD or the partnered boost, or for our independent booster station at the partnered reservoir to our service area. We need an independent, we need a hopscotch to the water. And we were having a heck of a time finding a location for this booster station. Well, not really, it's just going to be expensive.
It's going to be expensive. Well, and we had some resistance.
Yeah, a lot of resistance, and but resistance was overcome with money.
Mm-hmm.
And state land wouldn't talk to us until Mary Jacobs got us in touch with the right people at state land. And then Lee, his silver tongue, took over, and we ended up with a great piece of property for a spring. I mean, it was ashtray change.
Right.
And so, it's a great piece of property and great terms. So yeah, good job.
Thank you. So yeah, so now we have the land, we have the all of the easements that were required to bring that transmission main into Oro Valley. We're going to start moving forward with the design for this intermediate forebay here shortly this year, and. That's exciting. That's it. Any questions?
All right, any questions? Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
All right, moving to item 7, update and discussion on water resource usage. Mr. Abraham, you have the floor.
All righty. So this was quarterly, I present this information to the commission. So, you know, we track our water resource utilization. So from January through September of this calendar year, we look at how much groundwater we pump, CAP water we deliver, and reclaimed water we deliver. And up until July, before the monsoons came, we were overall a little bit above 2020. But as we saw the incredible monsoon season we had, I think our production was, I think it looked like it was down, you know, between 20 and 25%. And then, as Mary likes to remind me, the revenues were down about the same as well. So again, I was concentrating on the water resources side. But Mary assures me we'll be okay. But anyway, so, you know, that you see the lower bar graph there, I think is just reflective of just all that. That summertime rain we had, and so reclaim dropped a little bit. You know, when the golf managers see that we're going to get rain in the afternoon, they don't put in an order. So reclaim production was down a little bit. CAP production, that's always about the same. You know, because we base load 24/7. You know, we don't do any peaking on our CAP. We base load our system with CAP. So, I mean, it was up, why was it up a little bit? I don't know, but it's basically the same. And then, of course, our groundwater production was down a little bit. So this is for our main service area here. And then our countryside service area, same thing. You know, at the second quarter, we were a little bit above 2020, and that summer monsoon season was really beneficial to the system. Groundwater production was down, and CAP was roughly about the same. But I think we're seeing that dip
reflective of the good monsoon season. Kind of curious to see what it does by the end of the year, if it catches up or if it stays down. You know, this nice early, from my perspective, being a native to the area, it seems like we got an early fall, and if it stays that way, we'll probably stay lower than 2020. Be happy to answer any questions with respect to our Oro Valley, the main service area, countryside service area.
Questions?
All right, thank you.
No questions, thank you. All right, item number 8, town council meeting and recent communication. Council member Bowen, you have the floor.
So thank you. Once again, it was nice to see the detailed work that has been done regarding water usage and planning for the Northwest Recharge Recovery District. Regarding council, it's been quiet lately. We had 2 agenda items in our final September meeting, and we didn't have a regular agenda item for October 6th. But I would like to let everyone know, and this is information that's available not just to council, but to everyone, a lot of residential construction projects coming in, and some of those will need plan amendments or rezoning. So you can expect, I think, personally, it's just me anticipating towards the end of the year, next year, we're going to see some rezonings, and that obviously is of great interest to those of you who are working in water. And as a resident of town, not just a council member, I'm glad that we're keeping such a careful tab on our usage rates and things of that nature, because there is a lot of entitlements out there. This town can get a lot bigger based upon what's already approved. So thank you, everybody, for the good work. And that's my report.
All right, thank you. I'll move to item 9, director report. Mr. Abraham.
Again?
Yep.
Okay. I think this is the last, Jeffrey. Listen to me. This is a short one, too. Just upcoming meetings. October 20th, council chambers, 6 p.m., regular council session. November 3rd, I've heard this may be canceled, but there may be some agenda items, so... I'd ask Danielle just show it as I'm sorry, it wasn't open. Yeah, I think you, Councilmember Bowen, was it third that was the one we weren't sure if we were going to have or not?
Okay.
Well, so anyways, we'll say we are, but regular session council chambers at 6 p.m. And then I'm waiting to hear back from Mr. Kai. I'd asked him to give you some dates in November. That would be a good time to visit his GSF. That's right. Groundwater savings facility, basically their farm. It's kind of neat. They have their farm there, and the CAP canal runs right through the middle of it. It's kind of neat just to see it. It really gives you context of what we're talking about with respect to, you know, water resources and how we store water and how the GSF works. So I'll bird dog him and get him to give me some dates, and Danielle reach out to the commissioners, hoping to find a date that works for everybody. My intent would be to get like one of the SunTran or Vantran buses, take us all out there, get a tour, come back here. We have a plan, have a nice lunch, have a little discussion, and talk about what we saw. So hopefully that'll come through for us in November. And then again, November 17th, town council regular session, council chambers at 6 o'clock. Other than that, it's business as usual for the water utility. I almost wanted to say things kind of slow down for us this time of year, but only from a regulatory compliance perspective of things I might report to you. But that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Any questions? All right. Thank you. We will open a call to the audience, and we have nothing. We'll close the call to the audience. Any future agenda items? One once, twice, three times. All right, no future agenda items. We're now at the meat of the meeting, adjournment. Is there a motion for adjournment?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Commissioner Hollingsworth moves. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Commissioner McMillan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned at 5:59.
Great. Thank you, everybody.